Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another special edition of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we are always very pleased and honored to be able to come to you live and in living color. Before we go into tonight's program, of course, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator, and we are always certainly very appreciative and cognizant of our freedom-fighting ancestors. You are in tune to a special edition of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. As many of you are probably aware, we are getting prepared for the 16th year anniversary of the largest gathering in the world of women anywhere ever, and that is, of course, the historic Million Woman March. And, of course, now in bringing forward the Million Woman Universal Movement, we are now preparing and gearing up to really show you what it's really about, what we started in 1997. That was just the beginning. And, of course, over the years, as we've oftentimes said, we've been infiltrated, we've been betrayed, and a whole bunch of other stuff. But to show you that our ancestors always make sure the path is really open for those who have the courage, the tenacity, and so forth to do the work that is necessary, well, we are able to move forward. And so the Million Woman Movement is, in fact, doing that. This year, we'll unveil our new direct action plan. And with that, we will begin to really address some of the issues that is really in all of our midst, whether we realize it or not. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Now, while we're going to focus on what some call Chi-Town, Chicago, we are going to connect some of the dots, because what's going on in Chicago is going on in other cities, other urban cities, I have to be very specific, and, of course, is going to go on. If it hasn't happened there yet, if it's not going on there, well, you can best believe it's coming. The plan that is, I will say, in the midst of what's going on all over this country, especially as pertains to our people, our communities. Well, certainly it is a plan to deteriorate our families, our community. It's a plan to really create as much confusion, as much havoc as possible, and even worse, you know, the incarceration rate. You all know that that's certainly being designed in the way to make certain that these prisons are filled up more so with us. And as you've heard us talk about here often, there's a real serious plan to make sure that sisters are going to now fill up some of these penitentiaries. There is a plan, of course, to make certain that this system gets hold to our children. And this is why, again, it's so important now to get the sisters, the women, get them out of the way, because you know what they've already done to our brothers. Well, the last stronghold is our sisters. So to get the sisters out of the way, that means it gives them greater access or more direct access to our children. And with that, we're talking about having them drugged, having them programmed, having them fixed in a way to continue to be enslaved. Well, what's going on in Chicago is all related to what I just said, including, of course, the closing of 50 schools, here in Philadelphia, 28 and more to come. Of course, with the rearranging of the environment, you know, for example, you've all heard of something called gentrification, dislocation or relocate. Well, all of it is connected. Now, of course, now Chicago is the number one murder city. Well, a few years ago, it was Washington, D.C., and a few years before that, it was Baltimore, Maryland, and right after that, it was Camden, New Jersey, and then at one point, it was good old Philly. Well, now it's Chicago. You all know what they've done to Detroit, okay? Detroit also, at some point, had a high crime rate. Well, these people, if you really pay close attention, when I say these people, I'm talking about the enemy. I'm talking about the so-called powers that be. Yes, I'm not afraid to say it, and we'll continue to talk about it as much as possible. Well, they do have a plan, and we, if we pay close attention, as I said, we can see what that plan is because it unfolds very clearly in front of our faces. One final thing before we get ready to go to our live line is that here in Philadelphia, they started changing up the transit system. They started upgrading the system, supposedly to beautify the communities and so forth. Well, for those who don't know, I can assure you that's all about something else. And again, as they now do rezoning, as they now shift people, our communities, black communities, are now transforming, as they did in Harlem, transforming into these new, almost like, suburban areas, you know. Temple is taking over, and again, all over the country you find that universities and colleges are expanding. Well, again, family, this is not coincidental. Before in Philly, they had something called 2035. So obviously, they plan well ahead. The question is, do we? Are we? I think some of us know the answer to that, but fortunately, some of us are here to change that, meaning to be more prepared, to be more proactive, and, of course, to have a serious sense of resistance and, needless to say, to fight back. And, may I add, to win. That's very important because we always fighting, but we ain't always winning. So we better now focus on winning. With that said, we're going to get ready to go to our live line. Tonight we're going to have some serious dialogue. And again, we don't just talk here just for the sake of talking. We're going to have serious dialogue so that we can continue to strategize and get more prepared for implementation. With that said, we're going to go to our live line and talk with one of my brothers, one of our brothers who I always enjoy talking with, always get inspired from, always feel a connection as we, you know, many of us talk about family, extended family, and brother and sister and all of that. And for some folks, that ain't nothing but a whole bunch of words. But for some of us, it really does mean something. And I certainly appreciated my ongoing connection and, you know, building with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., who, of course, is the director of the POCC. We're going to talk about that as well, meaning, you know, dealing with the issue of political prisoners. There's an ongoing struggle in regards to that, and again, we'll talk more about that later. But tonight we're going to talk about Chi-Town. What's going on in Chicago? And family, we want to know what's going on in your town also, because I guarantee you there's a plan. If you live in anywhere in the U.S. where there are urban environments, where black folks specifically reside, I guarantee you there is a plan for your community, for your city. Lastly, the sisters especially, I want you to take note because we've been doing a little survey, informally, but yet nevertheless, and that is, in your community, do you have Dominican beauty salons? And the reason why I'm asking this, and this is nothing to get out against our Latino brothers and sisters or anything like that, but tonight we're going to talk about a little bit about how groups of peoples are starting to come into our community and how there's some other things coming into our community along with that. But we're going to talk more about that when we talk to Chairman Fried. And joining us with Chairman Fried is also another well-known brother in the city of Chicago, brother named by the name of Brother Harold Nooney Ward. Some of you may have heard that name before. because it's kind of popular, especially in the Chi-Town area. But for those who also go in certain other circles, you may have heard his name before. And we're going to be very candid about what's going on in Chicago, the connection between the so-called crime, which is so interesting. These people, I'm never talking about crime, but and when I say these people again, I'm talking about powers that so-called be, the wannabes and that are, who are really orchestrating stuff. We're going to talk about that candidly. We're going to connect the dots, the crime issue, the drug issue, the gentrification issue, the incarceration issue. We're going to talk about all of that, connecting it together. And again, we're going to talk with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. along with Brother Harold Nooney Ward. One quick thing, again, going back to saying to sisters about in your community, are there Dominican beauty salons? The question is, how many of our salons are in other people's community? Okay, just food for thought. So that means if, sisters, you're going to Dominican hair salon to get your hair done, I'm confused. Not really, but just a question to raise, and we'll talk about that a little later on, too. But we're going to also connect some of those dots as well. Anyway, without further ado, we're going to get ready to go to our live line. And we're going to first bring in my brother, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., and then soon thereafterwards, the thing is starting to act a little strange here. Oh, okay, we got that mic open. We remind you, by the way, family, a lot of times when we get into this serious dialogue, we end up somehow coming into technical difficulties. So if for some reason that should happen tonight, always remember, usually we're able to get back on within a short period of time, which means just click up and call back in. If you're online, just stay in tune where you are. Sometimes you may have to refresh, but usually you don't. But that does happen, so just in case, we're giving you an advance warning. It could happen tonight, because when we start talking about serious stuff and bringing out truth, power, sometimes other stuff happens. So we're going to talk to Chairman Fred Hampton first, and then we're going to bring on Brother Harold, and we're going to bust this up. We're going to really break it down for you. Some of you already know, some of you don't know, but what we definitely need to talk about is what we're going to do about it. Without more to say than that, we're just going to go to our live line. Okay, joining us now is Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., and we're going to get ready to bring it on. Chairman Fred, do I have you on this line? Uh-oh. We are having those problems already, huh? Oh, there
Hello?
We go. All right.
Right on.
We
right
got
on.
You.
Yes, indeed. Well, first and foremost, let me as always, let me extend revolutionary appreciations to you, to the listeners, and to the people in general for, you know, always giving myself as well as the POCC, BPPC, the opportunity to hit the airwaves. As you pointed out, we, you know, it's some extremely important subject matter that we got to address, and this is not to sound redundant, but this is something that, you know, we've been talking about, you know, a number of different times that me and you've been on the airwaves together about, you know, a lot of these issues and intense contradiction that's happening right here in the city of Chicago, which has been now been renamed or redubbed to be Chi-Rac. In fact, that's what the youth in particular refer to this place now as Chi-Rac. And a lot of people criticize that term, you know, are critical of us using that term. But I on the other hand, I think it's important because it gives a sort of political connotation, acknowledging that there is a war, a literal war that's going down in this community, and the casualties are, you know, are in particular are so many, you know, so many black babies and black people in general, and it's continuously being done under the auspices or the front that some sort of war on drug, a war on gang, a war on crime. And even when I'm outside of Chicago, I look at, you know, some of the mainstream media, and they strike the media. You know, it's striking emotions of the people and giving these incorrect impressions that, you know, the children just, you know, just running around, just killing each other, so on and so forth. And I know a lot of people attempt to say, well, this is some sort of conspiracy theory. about, you know, it's about the whole strategic plan, the city of Chicago, the administration, the real American gangsters and banksters, you know what I'm saying? And this is tied every, this is this whole crime epidemic that's happening in Chicago is literally connected to Chicago City Commission, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, the former mayor of Chicago, Richard Daley, as well as a lot of the Negro, quote-unquote, representation that has been placed in this, put up as our so-called spokesperson for our community. And it's, you know, it's a, and even and they strike the emotions of the people by showing the end results of, say, on 51st and Wood, 13 people shot, 3-year-old child shot, and it strikes the emotions of the people. And a lot of times we have these illogical responses, you know what I'm saying, make the connection again that you go through, anyone that comes through Inglewood, which is the south side of Chicago, or North Lawndale, west side of Chicago, is literally an occupied territory, literally. I'm in layman terms, it's my police cars constantly, all the time, throughout the community. And so, again, I know we've been putting this out quite some time, but I feel fortunate that we have the opportunity for another for Harold Nooney Ward to, you know, to be coming online with us also, because a lot of times representatives from my genre is revolutionary. People tend to say, okay, here comes Chairman Fred again, always blaming the system or blaming the white man, which we do. And but again, to have different forces from different genres, you know what I'm saying, whether it be electoral political field, whether it be the streets, whether it be the entertainment arena, to start acknowledging these contradictions again. And I just want to preface our discussion, even tying in what you pointed out about the hair shops, you know what I'm saying, within the community, and not being maintained or run, you know what I'm saying, by black people. A lot of the points and facts that we're going to talk about tonight, it would be easy to come with a reactionary response or just race, you know, so just simple race or black, you know, black people not dealing with the Mexicano, the Mexican community. We must understand the political dynamics that are going on not only in Chicago but throughout Detroit, L.A., so on and so forth. The type of antagonistic relations that happen with other nationalities are provided incentives to, you know what I'm saying, to mess over the black community. It's not just because of a lack of understanding or we need some sort of racial sensitivity classes, but we must understand that the system is at different times throughout history have provided incentives for other communities, again, to really play an attack on the black community. And in many cases also certain members of other classes of the black community itself to attack the black community, because even these so-called civil rights organizations should be defined as black hate groups. They have for the hatred that they have for the disdain for black people, and it's not just because lack of understanding, but there's incentives that are provided for these different other nationalities and as well as other classes from our community that are provided by the state to mess over us. And so again, we're going to talk about a lot of different dynamics again, in particular in Chicago, some of the dynamics about the Mexican cartel that the media has strategically not talked about. And if people go Google and research and find out names like this guy, they refer to as El Chapo. El Chapo, who they say has the first one has been placed on some sort of known list since that of the days of Al Capone. It's some sort, I forgot the name of the particular list they have in the city of Chicago. But when you see the media, people leave with the impression that it's just black people killing black people. And again, this is not a racist summation. It's a realist. It's a political summation, exposing. We found out when we went to Los Angeles to talk to different forces, different nationalities about the antagonist relationship between the black and brown community. You had some individuals actually say certain terms from the Mexicano community. Express certain terms such as ethnic cleansing. Again, ethnic cleansing in regards to the black community. And we was like, these individuals are not just coming up with these type of terms, these type of political terms. Right. So we said we understood that there's a third hand or unseen hand, whatever term you want to use, which we understand is a counterinsurgency that is being targeted toward the black community in particular and all oppressed people in general. And it affects every dynamic from the type of businesses that are giving loans and grants in our community. Because we think it's just happenstance. When you go through city to city, you see people that don't look like you, that don't represent you, and treating your community with a certain disregard. Because there's a sentiment expressed to them that you can do what you want to do to the black community, and you know, so there'll be no repercussions. And we see this, again, from the businesses right down to the drug trade, right down to the crime that's happening, and again, in particular, Chirac, what is going on in this city. It is mind-blowing who the different individuals, different players that are complicit with this crime that's happening in Chicago, excuse me, in Chirac.
All right. Well, before we bring Brother Harold in, I think we need to, those who may not know, we need to let them know that Chicago right now has been deemed, or I'm sorry, say the new name again, or the other name, Brother?
Chirac.
Okay. It has been deemed now as this one of the so-called, if not the, presently the murder capital, certainly one of the top 10, and we're saying it be number two, three, if it's not number one. You know, and this is not unique or, you know, anything different from what has been going on. As I indicated earlier, other urban cities have had that same title over the years, and it's important that we see the patterns that people have. So we just want you all to know, family, that, again, while we're able to point out or while we are focusing on Chirac is because this is what the so-called media and others have now claimed. You know, it's such an outrageous place right now, such a high, crime area right now. And, okay, in comparison perhaps to some other cities, but the bottom line is this thing rotates, you know, within a period of time. And we want our people to begin to realize this game that is being played. I know some say, well, this is not no game. This is real. Yeah, it is real, but when you understand how it's structured, then you begin to know what we're talking about when we say the game that they're playing or the games that they play. So, Tim and Fred, just let me know when you're ready to bring in Brother Harold. He is in queue. He is ready for what I'm seeing on the boards, and we'll bring him in at any given time. Is there something you wanted to hit on before we do?
We'll bring the brother on, but I just really want to stress that, you know, again, people objectively analyze and listen to the information that's coming in. And I want to reiterate a point you just made that although what we're talking about is Chicago, better yet, Chirac, it is a microcosm. It is an example of what is happening throughout New Orleans, Louisiana, throughout Portland, throughout Detroit, Philadelphia. Or it's going to happen, and although some of the names may vary to certain players, if people objectively check their emotions and just start to look at the certain spurs of crimes that's happening and the certain quote unquote strange shootings. I want to even people to go back and look at some of the mainstream media and go back and look at it objectively. Look at the 2 weeks ago the coverage on 60 Minutes, in which the Sheriff Tom Dart. Acknowledge that Cook County in Chicago should be, this is per capita, the largest county per capita of black people throughout the country. And Sheriff Tom Dart himself said that it is the Cook County Jail is the largest mental health facility in the country. They show documentation of the mental health. And it also should be acknowledged that Rahm Emanuel, the former chief of staff of Barack Obama, Rahm Emanuel, major advisor. They just said even recently with the government shutdown, he played a key role in advising President Barack Obama in regards to the shutdown. Rahm Emanuel, when he came into his tenure of being the mayor, he shut down massive mental health institutions within the black community. So just keep all these type of facts in mind. Also, Cook County State's Attorney. Anita Alvarez, who was under the tenure of the former state's attorney, Dick Devine, who was Mayor Daley's right-hand man. Anita Alvarez admitted on 60 Minutes that this acknowledged that this is the capital for false confessions and unsolved crimes that happened in Chicago. All these, the cases all the way down to Jennifer Hudson's family, people in the community know that it's deeper than what the media and what the state is putting out. There's some serious, real crimes going down. I'm not talking about no local brothers and sisters on the street. I'm talking about the ones who are sitting up in these pulpits. I'm talking about the ones sitting up in City
That's
Hall.
Right.
So I just want to point that out. So with that being said, definitely want to open up for our brother. Come on.
Okay. And we want to remind all of you that we are going to open up the chat room. in about 5 minutes or so. Give us a few more minutes. We want to get it ready. And for those of you who are online, you will be able to go to the chat room very shortly and post your comments or questions as well. And we're going to also open up the phone lines a little later on in order to get you involved. So let's see. Without further ado, we're going to open up our next mic. And we should have Brother Hal Newton Ward coming in a few moments. We are trying to open up your mic, brother. It's okay, we got you now. All right, greetings, my brother. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Very good.
Hello?
So welcome to this new edition, or shall we say special edition, of New Day. And thank you for taking the time to join us tonight.
Right now, thank you, and thank y'all for having me, and thank Chairman Fred for recommending me to be on here. You know what I mean? First
of all, right.
So I want to thank y'all. So far, I like everything I hear already, but you already know I know how Chairman Fred get down, so, you know, he's a real deal. But, you know, I just want to say I agree with some, a lot of things that he said, but one thing I want to say, and this is me coming, and I want nobody to get this twisted. All this is by design. Everything that happens is by design. And anybody thinking it ain't by design, you're sadly mistaken. It's by design. They sit 10, 15 years. They thought about this 15 years ago. Tell you how they're going to do this. They always execute their plan. And that's all this is, execute their plan. They execute their plan on how black folks is, what's going on with, what they're going to do to us, how they're going to do it. And we still, no matter what the circumstances is, we can hear in our head, we still will not wake up and see what's really going on. This ain't no rocket science. This for real. This is the real deal. When I sit there, when he said about running on them, man, that guy there, I'm telling you, everybody know. First of all, he gangster his way to be the man because he didn't live there. According to the rules, he wasn't never supposed to be on the ballot. You know what I mean? And also, of course, so we already know that the Teller Court said he couldn't be on there, but he was the Supreme Court. You know, and the Supreme Court, he paid all of them off, you know what I mean, to be on there. You know how it is. You know what I'm saying? He knew what he was doing.
Wow.
But the point is, we act like, as black folks, and I keep telling people all the time, but ain't nothing we can do. Yes, you can. You can do all lot of different things. The first thing you can do is do your civil duty by going vote. If we vote some of these people up out of there like we're supposed to, or they're still, they ain't going to steal if we go in record numbers to the polling places. Record numbers. One thing only happened, that means the economy got to come out of there. But we don't want to hear that. And another thing that makes me mad is all the killing and stuff we're doing with each other, it throws me off because I'm trying to figure out what is the encompasses with this here. We're doing just what they want us to do. You know, we play a role in this too. But the whole thing is, they study tricking us. They study bamboozling us. You know what I'm saying? Like this whole thing with the cartel, the Mexican cartel. Okay, cool. We know that the Mexican cartel personally ain't stepped foot in there, but they actually bring them drugs in, and we fighting over it, killing each other like we doing something. We fight over territory we don't even own. We don't even pay taxes in Chicago. So some of the people, I was going to say, this is our territory, this is their territory. What gets me mad is that we keep doing the same stuff over and over pattern, man. It's got to be broken, man. It's still got to be broken. We keep doing the same old foolishness. You know, I get bugged about that. I see kids dying back and forth. But what gets me is, like I was telling before, I say, we got all these sympathy pimps. You know what I mean? That's what I call them. All the black misleaders, not black leaders, misleaders. No, that's called sympathy pimp. And all the time they come around is when something happened in the black community that's working out with the news. Now, they instead of coming before then, they're trying to do, what about prevention? What about happening in that world? Let's try to prevent some of this. And then some of this stuff, like I tell them, I mean, when they get knows this, when they get quiet down, get real quiet down, they create something. Because I'm going to tell you about Chicago. Like, we've been a four-hour record member of the Gangs Disciples. I've been all through gangbanging all my life. I've been all around the world. Chicago got to show you where they do things. We don't do drive-bys in Chicago. We don't do that. That's not our thing. We don't do none of that. We do walk downs or different other things, or we do certain different things, and the pattern don't be the same. Notice this. There's a sister from Pennington, when her mother went to the White House, from her killing to the last two, three shootings. All of them in the same era, same thing, on a playground and a basketball court. Come on, man. Ain't that much basketball in the world. You know what I'm saying? It's by design. Oh, like I told, what's his name? I told all of us, I'll try to grease foolish a little bit, because the same thing y'all doing over and over again, we getting hip to that. You know what I mean? Yeah. We know y'all throwing people up into that. Man, it just throws me off, man. Just, you know, your sisters and brothers ain't really, you know what I mean, ain't really seeing what's happening, man. And then they even all of us. Because, you know, we got majority of them in jail, majority outside, but I'm just trying to see if we could just one time, just wake up for one second. We wake up for one second, we'll change this whole world, man. So go ahead, y'all. You know, y'all go ahead. I don't know, man. I just see these sisters and brothers, man, and they got so great future, man, but they ain't trying to take advantage of them. The life expectancy for a black person, teenager, 13, 14, 15. Are you kidding me? In the Bible, people live 900, 800 years, 6, 5, 4, 300. We just, you don't make it to 14, 15. That means y'all got no regard for life. And that's because it's by design, the trickery, the stuff they take away. Close the schools. Take the after-school programs away. Take the jobs away. You know what I mean? So now all of a sudden, you're looking like, man, what's the deal here? They took all this money. What can I do? You know what I'm saying? We took the job away from my father. I can't get a job. Nobody can get a job. You know what I mean? So what else for us to do? The devil, remember, you know, I don't mind the devil workshop. Every time, you know what I mean? And I'm just saying, man, I don't like it, man. I mean, it hurts me, man. It's hurting because the people that's in the powers that be that we have for our political people, you know what I'm saying? They ain't doing their job. And it's the last thing And whether they black, white, red, on, if everybody in Congress stay in Congress this time for the moves they didn't pull, for the shutdown, and everywhere else all over the state, country back and forth, shame on everybody in America. Because they got to get rid of all the bums. All the bums.
Yes, indeed.
Wow. All right, well, I certainly can concur with much of that. Before we go to the next specific topic on that, and I want to thank you again, Brother Harold, for, you know, all that you have conveyed. We're going to keep it real and raw tonight, folks, so we're going to bring some of you in as well. But before we go to the next specific topic, I just want to kind of respond to a few things that Brother Harold said, and I want all of you to think about this as well. Two things, one in particular, voting in masses, my brothers, that's a good idea, and it's just my opinion, and I can't speak for everyone, I ain't even trying to, but strategically speaking, that works when, in fact, you have a plan and can implement that plan. Perfect example is folks voted massively for a person by the name of Wilson Good. Wilson Good ended up sitting back, or I won't say sitting back, but involving himself in the bombing of 11 people that ended up being dead. Well, he bombed the whole neighborhood. They bombed the house. They allowed the fire to go through 65 houses. 11 people ended up dead, et cetera, et cetera. In case you haven't heard of that, it's called the MOVE bombing. My point being, black folks got to do more than just vote massively. What we've got to do is deal with something called accountability. And what that means is this. We can vote whoever we want into these offices, but are we prepared to hold them accountable, you see? Because over the years, I've seen where folks got voted in. Once they got in, they did what they wanted to do. Why? Because they knew we weren't organized enough to do anything about what they was doing. So they did whatever they wanted to do. So my brother, I agree. Especially when it comes to local politics, I agree, we can make changes, we can put people in, and we should. But the next step for me, that is being really able to hold people accountable. Now, I'll elaborate on what I mean with that a little later on, but I think most of you get my idea or get the gist of what I'm saying. You see, this is the real deal now, meaning putting somebody in office don't mean a damn thing if we can't say to them, if you do this, this, or this, you're going to answer. If we can't rock it like that, then we're wasting time. So I just wanted to, you know, put that little spin on that in terms of waking up. There have been times that we've waken up, my brother. But again, what does this system do? This system figures out a way for those who are courageous, who stand up and speak out. This system got a way of trying to exterminate us. One way or the other, or neutralize us, you know. So it's not that we haven't woken up at different times. What has happened is as soon as we do, they figure out how to put us up back to sleep or worse. So we now got to prepare better for that because we got a lot of brothers and sisters who are incarcerated, well, brothers in particular, as a result of waking up. Okay? So we got to do more than just wake up. We got to look at this thing now and say, look, if we do this, we know the enemy's going to do that, so then we need to be ready to do this. Got to be one step ahead of the game now. Okay? So I'm going to leave my mic off for now, and I'm going to let you brothers come back and continue on with, you know, helping us to understand better what's going on in Chi-Town, what is going on in other cities or will be going on or has already gone on. And I think, brother, you made an excellent point in saying that in your particular city, there's certain kinds of things y'all don't do. And so people need to take note of what this brother just said because the enemy has a way of sometimes slipping up, meaning they'll do something that will show that, hey, this really ain't what you think. So when the brother said that, immediately in my brain, I was like, oh, wow, that's deep. Because usually when you think of drive-by, you think of Cali, okay, for
right.
the most part.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So now,
right.
and I know, you know, I don't know a whole lot about gangs, but I know enough to know certain kinds of things once you connect the dots. So I'm like, wait a minute, that's right. I ain't never heard about no shoot, no drive-bys in California, in Chi-Town. Wait a minute. These people know how to create a mindset. They know how to create fear. They know how to create distractions. They know how to throw you off so that you think it's one thing and it's really another. And they're very good at that. They've had a couple of hundred years to do that. So, again, family, we need to pay close attention to what's being said. These brothers are sharing some very important information for us to do the evaluation and assessment. Something else the brother mentioned, of course, and that was cartels. That are in our
yes.
community.
Yes.
You got to remember, it changes after a period of time. It changes. Just remember, at one point we had a whole bunch of Koreans in our neighborhood. Well, we ain't got them quite as many anymore, but we got some other folks. You know, prior to the Koreans, it was the Jewish people had all the businesses. They left. So it's an interesting little game. So again, I'm gonna kind of mute myself out for a minute, and I want you brothers to please continue.
Let me say right on and just reiterate a number of points that Brother Harold Newley Ward brought up. One, I want to reiterate the point he made. It hurts. It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I know that may sound cliche-ish, but again, the constant viewing of carnage, dead bodies, on a continuous basis, is to the point that, you know, I made a comment recently. I don't even know, we go to so many funerals, I don't even know if we change clothes. And even as Field Marshal George Jackson of the Black Panther Party has stated that capitalism not only affects the economy, but it affects the psychic of the people. Again, it not only affects the economy, but it affects the psychic of the people. There cannot be a correct toll taken on the damage thus far. I'm talking about thus far, to this point, what has been done to our community. I'm not just talking about the amount of bodies that lay up in Cook County Morgue, the amount of bodies that we don't know about, not just the 3-year-old that was shot on 51st and Wood, not just the countless number of women and children, you know what I'm saying, they're physically being gunned down. But again, it's psychic on how we view ourselves, how we view life. I'm talking about, you can see like even the callous, cold, stoic response you can see in these children's faces now when you talk about death. Literally, I walk through, we say with our organization, we say the streets are our office and our work hours are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. One time when I was walking through, this past week, walking through my office, one of the local parks, and even with that, the park districts, you can go to some of these other communities, other nationalities, communities, and look at their park districts. I've taken black children to some of these parks, and they literally thought they had left Chicago. They was like, they was asking me, Chairman, is this Disney World? Is this, in contrast to the parks that exist in their communities, I'm talking about how bleak, the vacant lots, and I mean, you literally have situations where children are still, those old scenes of the footage in the 1960s, where you know vacant lots with the old worn out bed mattresses, you know, children doing gymnastics actually on a bed mattress. That still occurs right now to this day within our community.
Right.
Literally, I mean, they have adopted games. They throw bricks at each other. You know what I'm saying? This is the lack of opportunities and resources in our community. I'm talking about the older men, the older women of the 15th and 16th wards, all these aldermen, all these, the ones that literally sit down in the city of Chicago and never call them question, even in response to the historical heat wave, Chicago is a city of intensity, even including that of the weather. The intense heat wave, I mean, they were closing swimming pools down. You have the children couldn't go to swimming pools. Then the old historical, fight, it was a fight that Dr. King was talking about way back then. It just show how much has changed. A lot of the people in our community have resorted to was turning the fire hydrants on. They have implemented resources to dismantle the fire hydrants, where you can't turn the fire hydrants on in the summertime, and also where they will give you cases. You face legal charges.
Right.
But again, just the psychic, you can literally see, it's like going through some of the war-torn areas in Sudan or Sierra Leone, Liberia, so they really refer to the child soldiers in Africa, and you can just see how 12- and 13-year-old children respond to death, how they respond to funerals, how they look at it, how they view it. And you can see the whole different psyche. And another thing, just add on, Brother Nuni had pointed out about certain things, there are certain dynamics that were known in Chicago. And it was historically like a city of structure. Again, structured because the fact is that we were impacted by the Daleys and Capones and so on and so forth. In fact, Chicago was and remains today to be one of the top segregated cities throughout the country. And there were certain dynamics that it was real big about structure, organization. And crack cocaine was what the United States government was able to get crack cocaine in Chicago as one of the last major cities. Being they had to lock up certain individuals, they had to get rid of certain individuals. You know what I'm saying? You know, to bring this form of chemical biological warfare throughout our communities. And one of America's policies is to create chaos and restore order. I repeat, create chaos and restore order. We see it in Iraq. We see it in Afghanistan. We see it in Africa, where they take away certain principles, sincere, authentic leadership, and they replace it with the runts of the litter. And we've seen in Chicago where they were able to dismantle organizations, real-deal organizations. And I quoted this before. Even in 1996, when the former U.S. Attorney Jim Burns for the Northern District, when they vamped on the GDs after they had changed the name from Gangster Disciples and took a more progressive attribute for themselves as growth and development, when they were locked up and they referred to it as Operation Headache, the U.S. Attorney himself said the day that they did this massive sweep throughout the prisons and throughout the community, throughout the streets, he said, prepare yourselves for nationwide violence. Prepare yourselves for nationwide violence. It was orchestrated. They know how to create a crime epidemic. And again, there was certain leadership that was strategically snatched up from the streets. And the runs of the litter. And it's no disrespect on not these individuals, but the deal is, they have taken, a few weeks back, this young brother who they in Chicago who has been a lot of acclaim, Keith, who they refer to as Chief Keith, who just got locked up again, who, by no coincidence, Jimmy Iovine of here of Interscope Records, the same individual that was a major player when infamous East Coast, West Coast rivalry was going down. It's not by happenstance that it's the same individual that's got this young brother. It's not by happenstance they have clauses in this in his as well as many other these young cats' contracts that they get the bulk of their money when they reach 25 years of age. They know the dynamics, the possibility of them even making it 25 is bleak, to say the most. And I literally told this young brother, I said, look, no disrespect to you. You be extremely cautious, man, that no apparatus, no arm of the state put the cables on you, charge you up to even refer to yourself as chief. In fact, you should refer to C-H-E-E-F. He was saying chief in regards to smoking a lot, not chief as leadership, But the deal is, I said, you need to be clear that. I said, whether they come through a producer, whether they come through a groupie, did they send it to you, whether they come through any arm of the system, they will create a facade that you even believe. Because the deal is, these are not even gangs that exist in Chicago. In fact, it can be referred to as cliques at the most. Due to the massive land grab, would that be referred to as gentrification? Mm-hmm. You have a constant. You don't even know who your neighbor is, let alone what organization these cats can be tied to.
Right.
You have reactionary cliques. These individuals are saying words like whatever street they live on, and they call themselves gang members. And if they move to another block, it's a reactionary response. As opposed to what Chicago initially had was these individuals had like an actual, crazy as it may sound to some people, ideology. They had a belief system, a structure. As a fact, some cats will tell you this was their religion. I mean, the way they walked, the way they talked. I mean, before we even entertain the discussion about their colors, the way there's a certain thing that you can pick up. Oh, this guy, he's with this particular street organization. He was this particular organization.
Right.
And again, that has been dismantled. It has been dismantled. And what you have is mutations of the Vice Lords and the GDs and the Stone. You have mutations. Similar to the old saying, they say that God created Africans and America made niggas. I add to that, the city of Chicago, the Chicago administration, I'm talking about the Mayor Davis, the Ronald Emanuel, I'm talking about the opportunists, the poverty pimps, the young sisters, what my brother referred to, the sympathy pimps. I'm talking about, they also are collaborators with this. They have created Chirac. They have created Chirac. They have created these conditions. What has been done? This is Chicago. We had the largest amount of public schools at one time under Emanuel's administration. And under the largest amount of public schools in American history shut down. Simultaneously, they hit transportation. These are war tactics. This is what they did in Vietnam. You know what I'm saying? Going through the underground routes. These are war tactics. So we must correlate this to understand there's a war being waged on the community. What they have done to this community, we're talking about the crime in Chicago. We should be surprised these individuals have not turned to cannibals. I'm talking real talk. What they have done to them, what they have done to our people, it is created, and again, it is orchestrated, and it's strategic. And I challenge anyone, I defy anyone. We have the stats and the facts. You look at who benefits. Go look at strategically. Go look at when Mayor Rahm Emanuel comes back in the city of Chicago. It's not by happenstance he all of a sudden Corey Brooks, the pastor that they hold up as the panacea for the community. All he gets the media coverage all the time. That's the church that Rahm Emanuel goes to by coincidence. And all politics are local. This is the same individual that Steve Harvey built up for the Hoodie Awards. You follow what I'm saying? So they will give us our leaders. We cannot just look at this as some sort of isolated bubble. You talked about, you know, certain times with, you know, different nationalities going on, whether it's Dominicans, whatever. We must understand that, again, we do not live in bubbles. What is happening in particular cities can be connected to national, better yet, international agendas that this country has. Whether we look at 1971. In 1970, after the military defeats of the Black Power Movement, we had individuals like the former director of the FBI, William Sullivan, who was the architect of the infamous COINTEL program, counterintelligence program. William Sullivan was sent to Vietnam, Southeast Asia, to stop their so-called drug problem. Now it's ironic being that he was sent there because it was the French and the Americans who bombarded the Vietnamese with dope dens and prostitution houses. When William Sullivan returns from Vietnam, Southeast Asia, by some strange coincidence, the black community is bombarded with horse habits, dope habits, all derivatives of the poppy leaf, which grew in Southeast Asia. So when William Sullivan comes back, we got all of a sudden we have a taste for this particular narcotic. Now, on 1978, this same individual. Now, look, you see the same usual suspects popping up. William Sullivan, again, 1978, he's sent to Latin America to deal with their drug problem. And keep in mind what's going on over in Latin America, where the Sandinistas are getting down over there, going against the U.S.-funded Contras. When William Sullivan returns back, all of a sudden, the black community later on starts liking for a taste of this, the cocaine, the crack, and so on and so forth. Latin America is where the coca leaf, the raw form of the coca leaf grows at. And so you start looking at what dynamics. When the U.S. government has a relationship, when Bill Clinton talking about NAFTA, you start seeing what dynamics are going down internationally. Who is America dealing with internationally? Why at certain times in New Orleans, Louisiana, you see the Vietnamese community in New Orleans running all the stores, all the mom-and-pop stores closed down. You don't see any more subs running the restaurants selling the crawfish. All you see is the Vietnamese. You see the drugs. You see the situation where the drugs are going after the Vietnamese. And what they have designed for New Orleans and other places is similar to what the U.S. government under the Kennedy administration had plans to work with Sam Giancana and the Mafia to set up for Cuba. And the only thing that stopped that. The only thing that stopped those plans for the U.S. government and the Bautista regime was the revolutionary resistance of such individuals as Comandante Fidel Castro and Ernest Che Guevara and the courageous mm-hmm. Cuban resistance.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, needless to say, as we said earlier, a lot of the dots are now being connected. Brother Nooney, Brother Harold, your comments, please.
Well, the brother hitting a lot of stuff right on the money, you know what I mean? But also, you know what I mean, I want to know what we start talking about. He was talking about Corey Brooks and them. They groom him, Reverend Mixon, groom him to be the next Symphony Big Trim. Because, you know, there's one thing, I don't know if Fred know this, but the last 6 or 7 funerals all in this church.
Hey.
And they don't even go to this church.
Man.
I just want to know this is what I'm saying. All of them working with them people. You know what I'm saying? And what gets on me is when you call them out, they're like, "Mom, brother, come on, man. 7, 8, 9 funerals at your everything's so how to be at your church. Who are you?" You know what I'm saying? And they don't go to the church. And then they got nothing to do but find a little boy on 115th Street, which he know what I'm talking about. You might know. I don't know if you know or not. 115th Street, but that's way past the church. Way past the church. You know what I mean? A little boy got burnt up with his mama. How you go out there and go get them?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, it just blows me off because there's just too many things that's going on. And they said it right now. It's like, so what? You know what I mean? This is what it is. Ron Emanuel got his hands in everything they do. You know what I mean? And we got these chump, scared politicians, black politicians, which is ottomans. All of them need to. But people get mad. My guy told me last time. He said, "Don't say it needs to be hung, because when it be hung, then the fans come at you." Man, I gang them. I hang them. That I say what they need to be. But my whole thing is this: if you're in our community and you're a black person and you've been through all this stuff, you saw this. Then when you get up there, you do the same thing. Something needs to happen to you. That's all I'm saying. And you all the struggle you see us go through and all the pain and agony that we went through and we get through, and you can make a difference and a change, and we vote you in. And you get up there, and then people pay you off. And you and your community the same way. You got bandit building your community, all your schools, like a knife war where I'm at. Now, we have like 40-some schools, something shut down, right? In the knife war, it was 10, 15. We don't, our alderman never fought for the school. He ain't fought for the, we got one hospital. And they finna close that down. Come on, man. Then you look at to the point where we got maybe 2,000 abandoned buildings.
Yes.
We got the highest shooting game rate, in Chicago. And here you out there like, you know, your claim to fame is you brought a damn Walmart there. Man, are you serious, man? If all the people dead, who gonna shop at the Walmart? If they ain't getting no job, who gonna shop at the Walmart? And then we still ain't got a real, out of all these, he's been there for 15, 20 years, we still ain't got a real grocery store. Come on, man. This is against me with these politicians back and forth, you know what I mean? And then when brothers like us run, they want to steal the election and go through the changes back and forth. I know I beat the brother, too, so hands down, twice, three times. But I told them, that's okay. What they don't understand, I tell them, that's the letter I always tell them. Y'all keep forgetting there's a God in heaven, and you read what you sow. You might get back, but you won't get away. You won't get away. You know what I mean? The law of heaven's got to equal out. You keep what you got coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And as the people, when I tell them, I say, man, these kids on the street, and one congressman, she just got in there. She had the nerve to say, I had a really love for Robin. You know what I mean? Robin Shelley. But she had the nerve to say, you just got to face it. Some of these kids, you ain't going to be able to say it. That's BS. That's garbage.
Mm-hmm.
We can save all of them. So I'll say this. So what if that was your son? Can we give up on him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's different then. You know what I mean? That's different then. But you make a statement like that, and you're a congressman. I said, man, we get rid of Justice Junior, and we get a bigger fool than him. Anyway, man, I'm just really frustrated because all these politicians get in there, man, and you know they die off of the people. Oh yeah, you only see them when it's time to come out, and we mess up. This is what we mess up at, because they put it was by design that we had our elections in February, because they know black folks ain't gonna come out. And he told you right, the Cook County is the largest black county in the world. The second largest black county in the world is Detroit. But Cook County is the largest black county. So they know in February, which was Daley's father did that, to make sure that the blacks don't come out. Because they know for sure that the white folks don't come out and vote. Because they need, you know, they got what they got coming. They got to come out. They got people go around and knock on their doors. And then, you know, and then when we start doing the blacks, what you want our doors? You know, don't come knock on the door. I ain't voting. What am I voting for? But then the same ones complaining about they don't got this, they don't got that. But I mean, I say you don't got that because you ain't voting. In the census, they don't even count us in the census. You know what I'm saying? That's a shame. You know they don't count us. I said, now, this is the reason why you got potholes. This is the reason why you got abandoned buildings. I said, now, go to Lincoln Park, go to other places on the north side of Chicago. You ain't, they ain't, them white folks ain't going for none of that. And you know, as I say this is against me. I got to say this. We don't want no poppy fields, black folks, in Chicago. You got to steal all the drugs in our neighborhood. We don't want no gun shops or gun manufacturing. This is my point. I had a gangbang when I was up for 20, 30 years, and I ain't never saw a black gun shop owner in my life. But yet all the guns are in our neighborhood. All every corner is a drugstore or a liquor store.
Yes.
I understand that. And then the people talking about, well, man, the vibes are, man, let me tell y'all something. Don't y'all ever get this twisted. When Ron and Mayweather and McCarthy want to, they are stopped this virus in one day.
Yes,
man, don't
indeed.
You ever think they put, that's what
yes,
I said. I said, well, I said, bro, sorry for calling that, bro, but don't you ever think they won't stop this
yes.
in one day.
Yes, indeed.
One
yes,
day.
Indeed.
They will stop this in one day. One, I said, reason why? Because we hurting each other. I said, another thing, they stop, as I said, reason why they ain't stopping yet? Because we ain't, see, when we start scaring white folks, that's what's going to happen. I said, we're getting warm. We're getting hot. But we ain't scared totally yet. When we start scaring them, better believe they're going to stop it. In a minute, they're going to stop it. And you're going to see something else. if they got to call martial law. They got to call, and they will do it. Because I tell people, I say, man, let me tell you something. If they really want to, when they had the NATO summit there, they had 10,000 policemen.
Yeah.
Did nothing move. Did nothing hit the ground. I'm talking about paper. You better not throw a piece of paper on the ground or it was in the airlock. So you mean to tell me they can't go in neighborhoods? I'm just saying, this is good. If they really want to stop this, it's by design. Mm-hmm. They get paid off from them. Every child fight crime. This is a big business. Crime and killing, that's a big business for them because they get money, big-time money for schools, for jails, big-time money for programs that they never use, and they can always get the money from Washington and say, let's get tough on crime. Get tough. Let's get on game. Get the game. Now, this statistic right here, and I'm going to let it go. Believe this or not, gang violence is 25% of murders. 75% is domestic violence.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. No one you understand that. Let me get that one more again. 25% is gang violence, but 75% is domestic violence. But yet you keep saying gang. The media keep playing on scene back and forth, which all of them make the hoops together, back and forth. Now it's okay for Billy Barr to kill his wife and 5 kids. You know what I'm saying? But then you go out and dude, you get shooting for on the corner, walk out shooting somebody back and forth. But it's okay for Mary to stab her boyfriend and then to forget it, cut her throat. Or that she killed about 5 or 6 other people. Come on, man. Come on.
Yes.
Wake up. This is by design.
Yes.
This is by design. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm not saying this, man. I think y'all have me on. It's just sad to see that we as black folks, as people, we won't wake up and see really what's going on. You know what I'm saying? And then this, you know what I'm saying? What got me was, they showed this Tea Party. The people keep on saying sleep on the Tea Party. The Tea Party was the reason why this shutdown went down. The reason why. So that means that the Republicans and Democrats don't have no more juice no more. It's the Tea Party. You know what the Tea Party is? The Tea Party is resistance started with all white females. All of them. You might have 1 or 2 guys in there, but they run that. And they run it because, and that's for real, they started it. Now, people do your homework, that's people do their homework. That's who started the Tea Party. And guess what it was? They was the Republicans' wives, and they left them at 40, you know, to get a certain age. They left them for girls, or left them for being homosexual, which that's their thing. That's what made them start the Tea Party. But to say one thing, this gives me, for someone to have a voice to say, shut it down. And they shut it down. And they ain't even got no voice in Congress, but they tell other people, that means they got something on them. They got something on them. So go ahead, I'll deal with that. Go ahead, man. Thank you. Go ahead, Chairman.
Right on.
Man.
Right on.
Hey.
Well said. Right
wow.
on.
I mean,
yes.
and Brother Nguyen, I hope you will stay with us, but before we go back to Chairman Fred, I just want to remind people of a couple of things. Number one, they did declare martial law in Camden, New Jersey. This was a couple of years ago when it was the murder capital of the U.S. So we do know that they will and can do that. The other thing that you mentioned, Chairman Fred, was the fact that they shut down the rec centers and closed the pools. Well, they did that here in Philly approximately 3 or 4 years ago. The rec centers were, and this was during the summer, they had pools that you could not go to. There were recreation centers that they closed down because they said it was a budget crisis, and so they were cutting back by having the children not have anywhere to go. So, again, if we pay close attention to how these people roll, you will see that they do the same and similar things. Now, they did this in Philly, I think, four or five years ago, thereabouts. Shortly thereafter, they then, of course, went into the full-scale new juvenile center, which is now up and running. And across from it is what's known as the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, where they now, right next to the juvenile center, they have this hospital that services children. Now, again, connect the dots, because the Youth Study Center, which is also a housing facility for so-called behavior use. You now got the hospital right next to it. And so shall we say we know that these children are going to be drugged? Again, the plan is in. The fix is in. And as the brother indicated earlier, when are we going to wake up? Well, I think too many of our people have consciously decided to stay asleep. You know, they know they either have to take the red pill or the blue pill, and so many of them have decided to take the one that keeps them asleep. But the bottom line is, again, brothers, we know, unfortunately, the masses of our people are under some hypnotic spell, for lack of a better terminology. And it's really going to be up to a few until the rest kind of is awakened. So, and the last thing I wanted to mention, and I want you both to comment on this, because I think it's important that we call a spade, as they say. And that is, when we talk about sympathy pimps, when we talk about poverty pimps, we need to be very, you know, clear on who and what we're talking about. And I'm going to add to that and say, these people that also have these various nonprofit organizations that always trying to get funded for some program that can show no real success in terms of really changing or doing anything beyond a certain point, prayer visuals, a few little conferences here, but no real, you know, hard, real stuff, you know. So they, too, need to be placed in that category, not just the so-called high-profile people who you all are going to mention some of them, and I have no problem with that because people really need to hear that some of us are not buying what they're trying to dish out. You see, recently here in Philadelphia, they had a line around the corner for Sharpton's autograph for his new book, the very book that is now being put out by Lil Wayne's company, the very same Lil Wayne that talked about Emmett Till in the same context as beating on a woman's vagina.
Mm-hmm.
And Sharpton mm-hmm. has a book that is put out by Lil Wayne's people. Duh.
Mm-hmm.
So you brothers, mm-hmm. you take it.
Right on. Right on, Empress. Let me touch on the last point. Just even with this whole, so people, a lot of times people try to assess it or devalue the contradictions that we expose, we talk about, as some sort of subjective, in other words, personal. Well, this person like this person, so on and so forth. But even deeper than the fact that a lot of these poverty pimps or sympathy pimps or individuals who with these different safe programs, even deeper than their intentions are not to fight for the interest of people, but, again, a question of power. People need to start looking at, wait a minute, who is the media giving the exposure to? How is it? Let's go with this Corey, Reverend Corey Brooks, who at the funeral service, Lil JoJo, which I spoke at, and it was you can hear a pin drop. It was all respect from these young brothers and sisters. And by some strange coincidence, when Reverend Corey Brooks, when he spoke, but I left the event. That night, when I got back to my home, I seen on the news media there was this so-called big gang fight. Everywhere this individual pops up, there was some sort of problem. There was some church he spoke at that happened to be the church that Al Capone, the mafioso, used to attend. When he went there, all of a sudden there was some sort of shooting where these individuals supposedly ran up inside the church shooting. As Nooney talked about earlier, these are some stuff that people say, wait a minute, this just don't happen. You know what I'm saying? There's some sort of code of conduct that these cats usually have. And everywhere mm-hmm. you say, wait a minute, who is this individual for Tyler Perry to just automatically donate $98,000 to? You follow what I'm saying? And who you don't know from a can of paint. You start asking every time these cases, these strange, mysterious cases happen, regardless of what ward or which area the funeral service are being held in his particular church. The church is, quote-unquote, coincidentally, right in the same area that's been targeted with the whole thing about this, or the guy they refer to as Chief Keith. That's all this, the connections are blatant. And you have to start asking these type of objective questions. I mean, after a few coincidences, you have to say, wait a minute. This is too many. You don't have this many coincidences in the episode of The Twilight Zone. and these same individuals, pop up in a state is constantly thrust them down our throat. You see, in Chicago again. I'm not saying this in some sort of egotistical type of way, but it is a city of structure. Again, it's corroded now. However, city of, to the point that you can give me any individual name in Chicago, and we can do a credit check on them, a community credit check. You can say, okay, let me go check that. You just can't make up on anybody's name. We can find out who his baby mother is, what he's locked up for, the whole kit and caboodle. These individuals that are raising up have no connection to no history of Chicago. Who is this guy from? Where they from? And that's what you see, these individuals that are being raised up. And again, they tap into the emotions and they exploit the emotions of the community. And that was a funeral service once for a little brother from the community. A 5-year-old had got gunned down, murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally told him, I'll be upfront with you. I couldn't, and I've seen when it had a family, the funeral services, all of a sudden they were at this particular church, at Corey Brooks Church. So I refrained from it, I respectively refrained from it. I said, okay, I will see y'all at the repast, the community repast. I will touch on the community. And then when the people left, again, they know this guy from a can of paint. When the funeral services concluded, the people left, all of a sudden Illinois Governor Quinn, popped up with Reverend Corey Brooks, with the news media right there, and they ran this whole political agenda about disarming the people, taking the guns from the community. And this is what you have, people's emotions being exploited, and it hurts. Literally, emotion for someone else's political agenda, in case after case, Hadea Pendleton, who, that case, I'm talking about, you can ask a bus driver in Chicago. You can ask the little brother. They will tell you, man, that case, the Jennifer Hudson case, it's some deep stuff going on with that. I mean, the most apolitical individuals will tell you that. This case, which supposedly they went down in Hyde Park. Hyde Park is, ain't no gangsters over there. This area where they said the so-called gang shoot happened in Hyde Park. That's where Barack lived. Exactly. That was his residence. And then all the dynamics of that case, and people still hearing different reports about one of the individuals being beat up by the prison guards in jail and how they beating him. And they said, this guy can't connect. What's going down? But you see the same usual suspect, and you see people popping up exploiting it. Let's go to the Hadea Pendleton case. You've seen what Dick Durbin, Democratic senator, who played a key role with pushing for the proportionate sentencing in regards to the crack cocaine and powder cocaine sentencing. And he later came and said he wanted to fight for it to be retracted. But this same Dick Durbin collaborated with the Republican senator, Senator Mark Kirk. And they called for this whole thing. It was a big propaganda piece with this attack on the GDs, which they basically, literally, said they want like 18,000 GDs. It was a euphemism. And even the most lay individual recognized it was a basic saying, we're going to lock up black folks. Even Uncle Tom's recognized this. They exploited this case. They took Hadea Pendleton's mother, the press conferences, so on and so forth, and exploited the emotions of the people to really justify and to call for a intensified war on the people. Along with the war to be enacted on the people, he was allotted from the federal government to receive $30 million, $19.5 million, which he has thus already received. See, crime pays. But the question is, who does it pay to? In every one of these cases, you go back and look at whose political agenda does it serve. A criminal psychologist has pointed out before, when you go to a crime scene, the first thing you look for is who benefited. And then they will bring up these representatives, these different congressmen, because initially Bobby Rush supposed to say something contending against it. Then later on, he supposed to sit down with Mark Kirk You know what I'm saying? And then later on, they post about he's supposed to receive $5 million and work with the community, so on and so forth. And at the end of the day, when the smoke clears and the yellow tape is gone, we're still dying and dead out in these streets. And individuals are receiving resources and incentives
right.
for different programs. You have to start asking questions, concrete questions.
Mm-hmm.
How can, in response to Freddie Latisse Wilson, who was shot in excess of 20 times by the Chicago Police Department on the west side of Chicago, excess of 20 times shot, when the community literally carried this little brother's, young brother's body down to the police agencies, literally carried his body down there, walked up in City Hall and took a position the next one y'all killed, we would carry the body up here, up in City Hall. And when the contradiction was called, then Mayor Richard Daley, literally told the community, we understand that there are certain issues in the community with the police. If you have a problem related to Michael. And I would say, Michael who? He said Michael Flager. This is who a lot of you would call Father Flager. This is the individual that's sending the troops in our community, telling us who is going to save us.
Mm.
And if I'm going too far back for you, Chicago Sun-Times today, I ain't talking about ancient history, today, Sneed's column, talks about with Mayor Daley at the lounge, a Lux Lounge, had a fundraiser. This is the former Mayor Daley of Chicago, a fundraiser for Michael Flager. I'm talking about 3 days ago. I'm not talking about no ancient history. And look at the funders who came there, the L.D. Higginbottoms, the different people who funded this here. This is Daley, the same one that was a state's attorney that was responsible with the torture of Jackie and Andrew Wilson, Anthony Porter, and so many other individuals. You see the same name, same individuals. My fault, brother. Go ahead, brother. My fault.
Hey, let them know. And this ain't no, we ain't trying to be racist, but let them know he's supposed to say it. Tell them what color he is.
Oh, forgive me for drawing a foregone conclusion that they knew. This is the great white, the quote-unquote great white hope.
There's
held up to our community, and I mean literally. And again, this is, and we have been told that again, in taking our self-determination away, that you can fight and you can respond only if you respond this way, only if this is your designated spokesperson, only if this is your leadership. So this is the conditions and circumstances we've been subjected to. Notice when they came in, when the U.S. attorney came to Chicago about the crime problem, they literally handpicked who they were going to talk to. They literally brought certain individuals in the back room and said, "Hey, so I've got this one guy named Holmes who was literally on the Chicago Police payroll. I mean, literally. They referred him as a community activist. It's so insane. It's like, hypothetically speaking, if you was a Crips, if you was with the Crips and I was with the Bloods, hypothetically speaking, and I told you I'm going to give you your spokesperson to be your leadership for the Crips. Wait a minute. This is what we're dealing with. This is the madness and insanity we're dealing with. We are being given our spokesperson by the same individuals that's literally taking our homes, putting boots on our cars, locking us up, shutting our schools down, and they say, wait a minute. I gave this to you, to the native community. Now, here go your blankets. I want you to buy these. Here go your blankets. Don't worry about the smallpox in them. I want you to buy your blankets from this type of individuals. And I want to add one more point. Just give a history of Chicago. This is the same. I said this before. I want people to understand this is the same city. This is the ground of the infamous Woodlawn experiments. Again, the infamous Woodlawn experiments. The Woodlawn area was a growing, thriving black community. It was kind of like a local Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
The University of Chicago, I repeat, the University of Chicago, the University of Chicago, Sears and Roebuck, First National Bank, Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, Daley, had a program where they literally funneled over $100 million cold cash money to the then-known Blackstone Rangers. And the fiscal agents, In other words, the pass-throughs. That's a big thing in Chicago, too, the pass-throughs. In other words, the Negroes who the money go through. Mm-hmm. Well, the Reverend Leon Finney, the Reverend Arthur Braziers. They at the same time, the Chicago Police Department dressed up like the then-known devil disciples. They did drive-bys on the Stone's headquarters. They created a crime epidemic that brought the property value down. That's how the University of Chicago got that property. They have layouts and plans already. Who is set to get the property in Inglewood? Do a simple title search. A simple title search in Chicago. Look at the amount of police who have property over here. Look at the growing amount of land ownership by the Asian and Chinese community in particular that's happening in Chicago. This is not by happenstance.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And interestingly enough, again, some very similar things, if not the same things, are happening nationwide throughout black communities, throughout so-called urban environments. You mentioned Cory Booker. Again, when Cory Booker was mayor,
Forgive me, Cory Brooks. Cory Brooks is the reverend in Chicago.
Cory Brooks.
Cory Booker in New Jersey also, no doubt about it, is no doubt about it. Similar name, Cory Booker, another tool that they have planned for who they use in New Jersey. Cory Brooks in Chicago. And one more point that concert that just showed in Philadelphia with Sean Slave Z Carter, Made in America,
right. That
was a major propaganda bomb they dropped in Philadelphia where they had Mayor Nutter. That was a political propaganda bomb they dropped in Philadelphia. They set the stage to anticipate attacks in Philadelphia. Believe me.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah, we know. See, the other thing that people need to be clear about, too, and I'm going to connect some dots for folks, is that the Men and Women March, of course, was held in Philadelphia. The Men and Women March, of course, was not only the largest gathering in Philadelphia of that sort, it was the largest gathering in the world, but the fact of the matter is that the administration people, the so-called officials, whatever, have pretty much always hated the fact that they had nothing to do, really, with the Men and Women March. And by it being the largest gathering in the world, and certainly the largest gathering in Philadelphia of any sort, that really created a very distasteful thing for me in particular, and certainly for the Men and Women Marches, and this is why they've attempted to undermine it ever since. So my point is, they have been trying ever since 1997 to do something to top 2.5 million people, okay? Mm-hmm. So they've had the Pope here one year that didn't bring a million people plus. They've had these concerts with Jay-Z and all these other people. Still again, couldn't even reach over a million. So I've become almost public enemy number one in this city. And again, connect the dots. Anytime someone does something that is not coming from them, that is not endorsing them, that is not representing them, that's not co-signed for them, they're going to attempt to destroy it, undermine it, or what have you. And again, family, I'm saying this to all of you because for those of you who have not embraced the work that we're doing, I'm telling you now, they've got people out there trying to not only co-sign or trying to misdirect and all of that, they've got people out there now trying to recreate the Men and Women March only because, sisters, you haven't stood up the way you should. And let me tell y'all, when you don't stand up for something, you fall for anything, and if these people see that they can steal your history, which you know they do, they will. Fortunately for me, myself, Chairman Fred, and others, we ain't going to let them get away with it, at least not very easily, and for the most part, not at all, because we're making sure of that. But we're just letting folks know. You've got to support brothers and sisters that are out here doing the work. And this is what I was talking about when I said to Brother Nooney earlier about we can vote all we want, we can do all we want, but if we don't support one another as we proceed in doing certain things, it makes our job so much more difficult. And with that, we need to be pointing out who ain't supporting, really. These people who run around here talking about, yeah, I'm down, I'm with black folks, I want to see this.
okay, what are you really supporting? Are you supporting some easy stuff that is like riding the fence or what? We need to really be clear. And like the brother said, it's not personal, y'all. We're talking about facts here, okay? It ain't about I don't like you or do like you or whatever. We're talking about what's really going on. So with that said, we're going to open up our line. I'm sorry I haven't opened up the chat room yet. We had some, as I said, a little technical difficulty. We're working on it. We're going to try to get it open. But we do have a call that has a comment or a question for us. And we're going to open up the lines for the rest of you. If you have a comment or a question for us tonight, for Chairman Freer, Brother Nui, then we're going to suggest to you that you push 1 now, and we're going to get you in. Caller, you are at 7940. Do you have a question or a comment for us tonight? Oh, hold up. It's opening up. Not quite yet. Should be. Oh, there we go. We got you now.
Yeah.
7940.
Yeah. I would like to say that Empress is right, which she's sharing, because we got to come together as with our people, because our open enemy is trying to destroy us, because we are the original people on the planet, and they want to take our children and make our children their slaves. And this is our duty, to protect our children from the corruption. And I was just thinking today, and I'm briefly going to share this, I saw some young ladies who was very young, and they were just walking down the street just cussing, carrying on, and everything, the foolishness is on our children's mind. Our children are not the ones that they used to be, but it's not that I'm blaming nothing on them. It shows that how this open enemy has used social engineering to rear our children's mind somewhere else than where it needs to be. But our job also is to recapture our children and bring them safely back into the nurturing environment of self, so that they can sustain and the generation after us, after them, so that we won't fall predators to the white supremacist praying type of techniques, however they keep us dumbing down with foolishness and not knowing ourselves. So we got to, some of the stuff we have to do is focus on homeschooling our children and not allow them to teach our children, because if they don't treat you right, they won't teach you right. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Oh, well, thank you, my sister. Chairman Freer, Brother Nui, you have a comment or a response to the sister?
You want to touch on, brother? Nui?
For me?
You want to respond?
I know what she's saying, and I agree with her, certain thing, but, you know, we know from day one that they ain't going to teach us nothing. We got to do it ourselves. You know, the school system is broke, especially for black folks, whatever they say. You know what I'm saying? And you know what gets me the last thing, and I'm going to get on this, to that point. You know, when we start talking about subjects and everything, black folks invented math, but yet still every kid can't do math. I don't understand that. I don't get that. You know what I mean? So, I mean, hey, I don't get that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it just got to be, man. Larry Hoover's always said, if they knew better, they'd do better. And that's true to a certain extent. We know better, and we still don't do it. We just take the point that somebody going to give us something. They ain't giving us nothing. They still taking it, y'all. They take it. They take it. I don't know if they know this, but they take it. We got, like sister said, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. And we just been following. You know what I mean? We just been everything, whatever they do. Okay, yes, sir. Okay. This is modern day slave.
In a row.
No, so go ahead.
In a row. In other words, you can't make it no more plainer than that. In fact, I really wish they would just straight up, cut to the chase and come on with the potato sacks and the mules and, you know,
yeah,
the cotton.
And the chain,
we get straight to it, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, like the Alcoholics Anonymous say, the first step in addressing the problem is recognizing we got a problem. All these fancy euphemisms and these big words we use, like gentrification or growing prison industrial complex and all these fancy, you know, words. If we just get straight to the chase, what's going down here? I'm talking about straight up slavery. I'm talking about the straight up depriving of self determination, and in particular, even in regards to the youth. Again, the war tactics. Mm-hmm. In Iraq, within the U.S. invasion in Iraq, they talked about over 78% of the population, I believe it was, that was under the age of 17. You have a whole generation now that does not know what previously went down. They have no context, no concept of history. And, you know, it shocked me that a lot of people didn't know about the Black Panther Party or who knew Malcolm X was. And, it was strategically done. And now you have a lot of these young brothers and sisters in these street organizations that don't know what happened 5 or 6 years ago. I mean, literally. They have dismantled. They have no concept of history. And you have a number of reactionary forces that, you know, all they know about is right now, today. And even with animals, that was a piece on the Animal Channel. And, you know, they had the elephants. The elephants were going through what they refer to as musk. Like what we refer to as puberty. And then, you know, they started popping up again. They started feeling themselves. They just simply brought a male elephant around. The elephants automatically got in check. You know what I'm saying? Got themselves together. And they have, again, they have psychological profiles. They know. I've seen it done in prison. I've seen it done in the streets, in the community. They strategically know who to pick out, who to grab, how to dismantle
right.
certain, when they want to implement gentrification, land grabs. They take out certain individuals.
Right.
And I wanted to sidetrack 1 minute of even, it was a piece I want to recommend this, from speaking in regards to mainstream propaganda, it was a piece that came on, I think it was a Showtime series called Boss, Kelsey Grammer.
Mm-hmm.
They shut that down. This was literally showing you what was going down in Chicago. They twisted names in Algiers Garden and so on and so forth. They were talking about the Daily Machine and how vicious it was. And this was a movie. And it could not touch on what really was happening in our community. But again, they strategically, with our youth, I'm talking the present National Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, who was married to Daley's niece, who had a history in Chicago, who even by ruling class standards and petty bourgeoisie standards, they say this guy was never in a position to head up any type of school system. But
mm-hmm.
you heard people brag about him being able to play basketball with Barack Obama. This is the type of stuff that they tell us about when it comes to our community. I mean, they give us entertainers and athletes for our spokespersons. And they say
mm-hmm.
this guy was able to play basketball with Barack Obama. This individual, literally, Arne Duncan in Chicago, was talking about making laws, working along with the Chicago Police Department, once individuals are classified as a gang, and I want to make sure you understand what I said, classified as a gang member.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be real
mm-hmm.
careful, cautious with that term, because it is so arbitrary on how they can classify you as a gang member. Individuals mm-hmm. being classified as gang members, that they not be allowed to attend certain schools, and they be put in a particular bad school.
Right.
Then was talking
right.
about, in the same breath, was talking about designing and opening the school with a number of resources for children who acknowledged they were homosexual or transgender. This is the program, the basic statement, and we're talking about this great school, this great development, this institution that will be open for children who are homosexual, transgender. I know a lot of people want to try to sidetrack this into, you know, what's my position about this. No, I'm saying that this was a message sent to children that they classify you as a gang, and that whole term gang is really a synonymous with if you're black. Like I said, when they said 18,000 GDs locked up, we knew what that meant. That means lock up 18,000 black folks.
Hey, Fred, can I say something on that?
Yes, sir.
When he said
yes,
about
sir.
That, because, now, you know,
you know, when they said when kids in Chicago school, they fight, that's gang. But they had the same thing in New Trier in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
And they had
yeah.
three, they had all white kids, and three
yeah.
people got killed. They had a fight, right? They
yeah.
call that a brawl.
Now,
I've been in a lot of brawls. You know what I mean? In
yes,
my
indeed.
Life. But
yes,
ain't nobody never got killed in no brawls.
Yes, indeed.
All white folks, but you know what I mean? That's a brawl. Oh,
yes,
that
indeed.
Was a brawl.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, man.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, we keep on, man. It just throws me off how they think some of us, I don't know why they think, all of us ain't sleep, y'all.
No doubt.
To be, all of us ain't sleep now.
No doubt.
You think
no
we
doubt.
Are, but we all ain't sleep now.
No doubt.
And,
whole thing, no doubt.
And all of us ain't,
no,
and all of us ain't scared of you neither.
Believe that.
I fear
believe
God.
That. Believe
you
that.
You know what I mean?
Believe
so,
that.
No, it's just a second. I mean, you know, when you say, you're right, just ready to watch, you gotta watch that turn because when people are like, man, what about the gang? I said, I was in the street over there. There was no gang. But why you say that? I said, because if you consider yourself a gang, people don't know. They label you now as a terrorist. You're a terrorist
huh.
when you use that name.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you are. You're a terrorist. That's the law. You a terrorist.
Mm.
So I was like, man, that guy went with the street organization he was in? Yeah.
Mm.
That was the gang.
Yes.
No, it's a street organization.
Yes, indeed.
How come
yes,
how come the mob and all the rest of them are street organizations,
yes.
but we gangs?
Mm.
According to
mm-hmm.
y'all, the fascists are the same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
They use euphemism.
Go
ahead.
And you know what? They had, and I'm going to talk about this. They had, now, when they asked Larry Hoover, and I didn't say that because he was the chief, I asked him, it was an article in Vibe magazine. He did an article in Vibe magazine. This is the reason why they came out as the Greatest Disciples in 94, right? The article he did. The article said, he asked them about different things. So what happened was, 10,000 people, he had 10,000 DVDs march on, shut down City Hall.
Mm.
Peacefully, everything.
Mm.
So that basically was like, you got too much power to be a man. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was, that article came out, well, who do you call yourself after? He said, he called himself after Richard Day Davis, the Daily Father, right? He said, what you mean? Well, he had over the RS Mob, and y'all said, I'm over the GDs, and y'all said, he sold alcohol prohibition, and y'all said, I sold dope. And he's in for the politics, and I'm not in politics. When he said that, see, people don't know that was a setup because what it was back then, it was two birds in one stone. It was, which was the one who got him, which was Burns. Burns was the attorney general back then. It was, the deal was cut for Burns to get, because Burns was doing this. He was getting all, he called Great Law, he was getting all the judges and all Democrat judges and Democrat politicians. He was getting all of them. So they devised a plan to get him out of there. So they told him this. Daddy did. The son told him this. If you run for governor, we'll back you, and you'll win. So now you know for you to run, you got to step down from the position. You know what I'm saying? So they tricked him. He said, but two things I want. I want you to run, I want you to step down, and I want you to get Larry Hoover. And he wanted to get Larry Hoover for that statement that he made about his father. Now, this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know that. He stepped down, they went after Larry Hoover, and all that kind of stuff, and he tricked Burns. When Burns stepped down, they bagged Prashad, told him, man, get out of here. We just want you to step, because you can't go back. Once you step down, you can't go back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So he got Larry Hoover, you know what I mean? And he stepped down, and they killed two birds with one stone. So they play a mean game, man. They play a mean game.
Mean
if you don't know how the game go, and let me show you something else, how amazing the game is. Now, they got another politician there. He might have did a few different things, but all of them got something on them. He just ain't got caught. You know what I mean? But the deal was, they brother. He kept on, they had Patrick Fitzgerald there. And Pastor Fitzgerald was a Republican. He just stepped out. They just filled his position. He stepped out three years ago. They just filled the position yesterday. Now, this is what got me, and I'm going to do it with this. This is how powerful the Daley family was. They got him. They told he was Fitzgerald was getting everybody, all the politicians. Fitzgerald said, "Well, this is the only thing we respect for them." He said he got gang members, he got white collar crime, he got everybody. He said this is not a black thing, this is a crime thing, and he proved it. I don't get too many people they prop, especially not no attorney generals, but he kept his word. And Fred Taylor, I'm talking about, he got everybody. It wasn't he got black folks. No, he got white folks, major white folks, too. He wasn't playing. And they were scared of him. So what happened was, this way he crossed the line there. When he got to date the other brother, he was trying to go after him. It was okay. And they told him. They said, show you how we will understand it. Show you how these people will show you that you're still a nigga. That's what I mean. Sorry about that. That's how they show you that you still one. Now, they made the Attorney General come from Washington, D.C. to have a conversation with Captain Fitzgerald. Now, this is the Attorney General. Now, if I'm the head NIC in charge, you coming to me. I'm calling the shots. He told them to get up off of Daley, leave him alone. And that's when Captain Fitzgerald said, if I can't do my job, I'll resign. That's why he resigned. He resigned. Because they went after Daley. John Daley went after John Daley, and they got since John Daley went after him, they got mad because what's his man name? Beavers wouldn't tell. You know what I mean? Why?
Yeah.
And that's what Beavers told him, man, well, you know, you go to Jason, man, I'm 72 years old. he said, I'm going to die. And he gave me, I'm going to die in about a year or two. You know what I'm saying? I don't care, but I'm not, if they were that bad, they were why. They play a mean game. I'm just trying to show you how people, the powers that be, how they still got juice every day. They call shots. Now, remember this now, his same brother, John Daley, his brother was first, was Bill Daley, was the chief of staff in Washington, D.C. Come on, now, you know that. Ain't no Daley's going to jail. His nephew killed the dude cold-blooded, and walked away, cold-blooded. They ain't going to jail. His son was in a lot of stuff. Anyway, man, so I'm just trying to show you people, man, and you know, people keep on acting, oh, man, we keep separating, like, we so numb to this. They cutting us every which way. They cutting us, they cutting programs, they cutting us so bad, we don't even bleed no more. Anyway, we don't even bleed no more, man. I mean, so anyway, but go ahead, y'all. I'm just not me. I'm back. I'm going down. Anyway,
if I can add one more point to the data. Brother Nooney just laid out and put in historical context. Even with the infamous Daley machine, and again, you're talking about one of the most powerful machines throughout the country. And this is one of the contradictions that hindered the state move, the government moving, like they talked, like you referenced to regards to New Jersey about the National Guard and so on and so forth. Chicago was such a was such a powerful tool, similar to that, like back during the era of segregation Jim Crow. You had places like Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi. Governor Wallace, who took such an arrogant position, like regardless of what the federal government is saying, this is what we are, this is the position that we're taking. And you've seen in Chicago is where even if the partisan political machine is really just a fraud. In other words, Daley has no allegiance to even the Democratic Party. Daley, they refer to him as a closet Republican. Daley's son is a registered Republican. Daley's son is a registered Republican. And this is where George W. Bush sent his birthday with the former mayor of Chicago, Daley. He sent his birthday with him. And this is the type of machine that you're dealing with. And we had to, all the mayors would meet throughout the country. You've seen all the Daley at the helm, at the head of all the mayors meeting. And even in regards to the Daley machine and the system in general, it's a long-range attack, and it never forgets. Even in regards to the case that brother just mentioned in regards to Larry Hoover, there was a case that is still was a thorn in the side of the Daily Machine and the system in general. Put in the context, in the national context, in regards to the prison rebellion that was happening throughout the country. I'm talking about really the intensified after the assassination of Field Marshal George Jackson, August 21st, 1971, on San Quentin Prison Yard. You've seen the rebellions in Attica and throughout the country. You also see in Illinois the infamous Pontiac rebellions, Pontiac Prison, and the Pontiac rebellion, in which Larry Hoover was tied into that case, and Daley was on the prosecuting team. He has never forgotten that. Never forgotten that position. So, again, we have with this generation, you have a generation of reactionaries who just know about what's happening today.
You know,
we have to put this stuff in historical context and also the political context that crosses all geographical, all gender, and all generational lines. Understand, this is a long-range attack. It's a long history. It's a concerted effort, and they even know our potential before we know our own potential. They target certain babies. They target certain individuals, even if the respective individual, he or herself, do not know their particular potential.
Okay, we're going to go to another caller. We're going to open up the lines again. Before we do, I just want to mention to everyone that this is why it's also important, as Chairman Fred just said, to really put things in a historical and political perspective. And with that, this is why you have families that tend to groom their siblings and their family members to continue generation after generation after generation. You have to pay real close attention to the Kennedy family and other families where
the U.S. Attorney of Delaware, Vice President Biden's son.
Absolutely. So this is why it's important that we pay not only close attention, but that we understand the nature of the game, for lack of better terminology. We're going to go to our lines again, and let's see, caller, you're at 9358. Please bear with me for a moment because we are having just a little bit of technical difficulty, not much. I was not able to get into the chat room, unfortunately. My apologies for that. For some reason, it wouldn't let me in. But, caller, we do have you at 9358. Do you have a question or a comment for us tonight?
I want to say first, Hotep, Sister Filet, Chairman Fred, and I would love to call him Deacon Howard, but I mean you know, like y'all are really on the point, and you covered all the bases, and there's one base we need to put a little check on, and that's the spiritual base. Because that's what we're in. We're in a psychological, spiritual war. Because we can't beat them physically. We have to beat them through the mind, through the mindset. You got all the tools there to start yourselves classes. We need underground classes for this. This is why we don't have the masses now. Because I've been in this since the 60s, watching it go down. And you guys, I'm really proud of you because most of our leaders are gone. And they have infiltrated us. They have Freemasonry in our ranks. They have preachers in our ranks. They have sellouts in our ranks. So it's going to take a classroom setting to wake the people up to who they are first, so that they can comprehend where they at and what's going on through them. And I wish I can get and catch up with you guys and just sit and chat and talk with you for a while, but I'm going to try to do my best here. Sister,
Philly, we're going to be bringing Chairman Fred to Philly very soon, so I will keep you posted on that. Now that we have a location which you know of that is in the same mindset as we are, we now have a place that we can bring our people, for these types of settings. So I will definitely keep you abreast of that. But we're bringing Chairman Fred to Philly very soon.
Okay, that's very...
If I can make one comment, too, just a little background. I know this may be the first time many individuals, you know, say may have heard me as well as may have heard Brother Nudie Ward, but let the record reflect. Mm-hmm. This is not our first encounter. This is not my first contact with Brother Nudie Ward. This is not our first time challenging and exposing these contradictions. In fact, some of the stuff can be Googled on YouTube. You type in our names. One of the cases in particular that goes to mind, the Renaissance 2010. This is a program that was implemented around 2006. Again, Artie Duncan, the present National Secretary of Education. We were challenging this way back when. We were on the ground. We did coalition work in the Argyle Gardens with this brother and a number of other community activists in regards to when they were the Darren Albert case at Finger High School, when the state put out the position that these individuals were just from Argyle Gardens, you know, just gangbanging against the individuals they referred to as coming from what they call a veil. We challenged and exposed how it was strategically set up. We exposed how the Chicago police were right there watching when this boy was beat down. We exposed how it was designed. The City of Chicago administration, the Renaissance 2010, was strategically dismantled schools, and in particular Argyle Gardens, how they took Carver High School and they took these children over the overnight transition, shut their school down, turned it into a military academy. And it's, for the record, Chicago also per capita has the most amount of military academies in the city of Chicago. Mm. And how they put these children on top of each other, creating an antagonistic situation. This was done in Crane High School, how they took the black and Mexicano community and packed them on top of each other, creating a ticking time bomb. So we have literal classes. We've been working with different hip-hop artists. I'm saying this to say, although a lot of people may just not get familiar with this, and this has become a popular discussion what's happening in Chicago or Chirac, we have been dialing and challenging and exposing these contradictions, you know, for quite some time. So I've been privileged and honored to be able to do coalition work with a number of different genres, you know what I'm saying, forces that come from different walks of life, you know what I'm saying, to address different contradictions. But again, in particular, if you can, type in the Renaissance 2010, something, you know what I'm saying, that we challenged way back when. In fact, you can go, and there's a number of different other coalition forces that literally, way back in 2006, go on YouTube and type in selling out the community, selling out the community on YouTube, and you will see some of the individuals that were used by the Daily Machine, like Michael Scott, you know what I'm saying, to play this role in this battle in the schools, and how the Daily, how he, quote-unquote, mysteriously, they say, committed suicide once a lot of consciousness started coming out. So this is nothing new. With all due respect, we ain't new to this. We grew to this. So we have been on the ground for quite some time working. We have what we call the code of culture. We win artists. To some point of unity, the dress is going out. We have the educational ethic. We get students to make it a class project to work on exposing the cases of the C numbers in Illinois. The expose was going down with the Renaissance 2010. So we are on a day-to-day basis, you know what I'm saying, again, with no resources. I mean, the POCC, BPPC, we've been forming principal coalitions with different individuals. And a lot of times, it's just not coming light to some individuals, but we've been on the ground quite some time. And we, like you said, about trying to have classes, we have literally turn the communities into classrooms.
Yes, yes, brother. See, yes, I agree with you. That's what we have to do, because there's just a few things missing out of your presentation. Is that it's the people in our rank is what's the problem now. We know what they are.
I'm very clear on that term. No disrespect. Well, I'm big about schematics. I'm very clear on the term people. See, just because you have the same skin tone as me, I don't just that you're my people. You follow what I'm saying? So I'm real particular about words and terms. So we've been fighting in Chicago. We've been exposing. Again, please look on YouTube. We've been calling these Negroes out. We've been exposing these Negroes who work in the districts of people. We've been fighting cases.
Yes, yes, I understand where you're coming from, but in order to rehabilitate the ranks that we need to make this a movement. This is imperative. We have to wake the masses up. I don't care if we got sellout Negroes in our ranks or we have you calling out the politicians and the black clergy and the fake activists out. I don't care if you're doing that too much, but what is missing is that we need our ranks. We need our army to get involved, and it takes a certain...
Well, I respect my brother. People get involved. I used to think of the 60s in a romantic type of way. The reality is, people get involved in the work one of three ways. One of three ways. Inspiration, aspiration, or desperation. Inspiration, aspiration, or desperation.
Let's talk about that. Unfortunately,
we can't talk about it tonight because we only have a few minutes, and we still have one more call if we want to try to get it. But Brother Philip, I thank you so much. We're going to be bringing Chairman Fred back for our radio program, but we're going to also bring him back to Philly, and I want you to be ready for all of what you're saying now.
And please check our resume, see what we've been doing thus far.
You've done a yeoman job. I called you general and deacon. I mean, you have done a yeoman job. I'm not taking that from you. But there is a few things that we need to talk about that is imperative to get it to move. We need ammunition for our guns now, and that's a certain mindset that we have to pull into these people, because this is what we've been doing down here in Philly.
And it's
we've been fighting,
sellouts. In the words of Malcolm X, the collective consciousness of the people ticks slowly, but it erupts with a volcanic force that will make Mount St. Helens look like nothing. Malcolm, and the collective, the people take slowly, but it erupts a volcanic force and make Mount St. Helens look like nothing. I understand that it takes certain things for certain people to respond. I'm inspired. Yes, we are inspired to do this work, but I understand certain people. I hate to say it. One of my quotes is, "He turns more than me black." He turns more than me black. What that means is, first Michael Jackson says, "It don't make a difference if you're black or white." When that Joker caught that case, he changed his tune. They don't care about us. Kobe Bryant started quoting Dr. King when they came with that case on him. The heat is coming. The heat is coming, either through the state or through the people. We understand that movements made James Brown say, "I'm black and I'm proud." That pop had a whole different song planned at first. We the ones that put the heat on Kanye West and Borders Bookstore, north side of Chicago, 8 hours before he said what he said about George Bush not liking black folks. We understand we had a season. I got a movie we're going to do tonight. I ain't even talk about it right now. I ain't going to talk about it now. I'm going to brag about it later. We got a movie we're going to do tonight with some of these artists. Tonight.
Okay. Don't spill it all out here today.
I won't.
Well,
I'm going to talk about it now. We're going to brag about it later.
Yeah, because we are down now to our last few minutes. Caller, I was trying to bring you in, but unfortunately at 5913.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we had a call. I was trying to get in, but we have run out of time. Looks like we're going to have to do part two of this, Chairman Fred.
Right on. I look forward to it. We look forward to it.
All right. Unfortunately, family, we have run out of time for tonight. I want to thank all of you for tuning into this special edition of New Day Resurrection Liberation. Thank you, Brother Philip, and also Sister Amy for your comments. Brother Nooney, I definitely want to thank you. I hope you'll come back with us the next time so that we can continue.
Yes, I will.
Because like Brother Philip, wonderful, wonderful. I will let Chairman Fred know what date, but it's going to be very soon because we want to now not only talk about the things that we talked about tonight, but now look at planning some plans of action. Okay, that's going to be kind of the next focal point. We've gone over some things in terms of our concern. Next is what we're going to do. So, family, with that said, I thank all of you again for tuning into this segment. We've been talking with Chairman Fred Hampton, Jr. of POCC, and, of course, Brother Harold Nooney Ward, well-known brother in Chicago area, formerly for his drug activity or should I say gang activity, for lack of a better word, but certainly, as you can tell, for activism now. Family, we thank you again. We've run out of time. What can I say? We will be back very soon. We'll keep you posted on part two of this dialogue. Until then, I'm going to leave you as an open time to greet you, and that is in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. Remember, there can be no real peace, meaning Hotep, until there's truly Ma'at, and that means not only justice, not only truth, but reciprocity, harmony, and balance. But primarily we're focusing on justice. Remember, there can be no real peace without justice. No justice, no peace, no justice, no peace. Until next time, this is Empress Chi, and we say to you, promote the Trudishinda, together we shall win. Love you, Chairman Fred. Thank you, Brother
Looney. Thank you, Brother
Looney. All right.
Right on, Brother Looney. Thank you, Brother Phillips, for the call, all the callers. Thank you for the people.
Absolutely. And we will be back soon. Peace out.